Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Dear saints, this text is all about who Jesus is. Here we are given a glorious glimpse of Christ, and what is revealed about him is no small thing. Jesus takes three of his disciples with him up to a high mountain, and while they are there, he is transfigured before them. Matthew says that his face shines like the sun, and even his clothes shine with white light. And miraculously, out of nowhere, appear two of the most famous people in Israel's history, Moses and Elijah. Moses, through whom God gave the law, and Elijah, who was seen as the prophet par excellence. And there they are conversing with Christ. And while they're talking, Peter pipes up and he speaks to Jesus. He says, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I'll make three tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." Peter would cherish the moment, basking in the glory of Christ in the presence of Moses and Elijah. But while he's still speaking, he's interrupted. "Behold," Matthew says. That's a word that Matthew likes to use to draw your attention to something that is important or out of the ordinary, like when he says, "Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and told him to take Mary as his wife," or, "Behold, magi from the east, pagan astrologers, came to worship Christ." Or after they had met with Herod, "Behold, the star that had led them appeared again to take them to the Christ child." Or when Jesus was baptized, "Behold, the heavens open up and the dove descends and the voice from heaven speaks." Or when Jesus is eating at Matthew's house and he says, "Behold, tax collectors and sinners came and reclined at table." So here on the Mount of Transfiguration, as Peter is flapping his mouth, behold, a cloud enveloped them. And not a dark, ominous cloud, but a bright and glorious cloud. And God speaks from the cloud and he says, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." That single sentence of proclamation from the cloud gives us an incredible amount of information concerning who this Jesus is. First, God declares that this Jesus, he is no mere mortal. This Jesus is not just another wise rabbi or a prophet. This man is not just a man. This is the God-man, the only God-man ever to have walked the face of the earth, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God. And here on the Mount of Transfiguration, that reality is probably more evident than ever as Jesus is radiating brilliantly like the sun. Of course, this isn't the first time, though, that we have heard Jesus called the Son of God. Back in chapter 3, we heard God say the exact same thing about Jesus as he comes up out of the water of the Jordan at his baptism. "This is my beloved Son." This is a good reminder for us to remember who God says Jesus is. Because you see, Jesus is one of these people that folks will try to form and mold and mash into whatever shape fits their own particular experience or worldview. Jesus, the social activist whose causes just happen to line up with all of mine. The non-judgmental Jesus, says that loving people means that we should just let them do whatever feels right. Jesus, the nice gentleman who sets a good example by never losing his temper. Jesus, the great guru who just comes to impart lots of wisdom. Jesus, the revolutionary who comes to stick it to the man, right? All very human notions of Jesus. Purely human notions of Jesus. But Jesus, the Son of God? I mean, once we get into that territory, he becomes a lot harder for us to sympathize with. It becomes a lot harder to fit him and form him and shape and mold him after our own likeness, because as the Son of God, he He occupies a completely different category, all his own, which means that we must have him not on our terms, but on his. And yet this proclamation that this is my beloved Son, this is wonderfully good news that Jesus is not only fully man, not just another guy who walked the face of the earth, even if he was a really, really good guy. It's good news that he's not only fully man, but also fully God, conceived by the Holy Spirit. For only then can he do everything that the Father sent him to do. Which leads us to the next thing that we learn from the Father speaking out of the cloud. The next thing God declares from the cloud is that with this beloved Son, Jesus, God is well pleased. This Jesus, we might say, is worthy of God's smile, God's favor. Remember back in chapter 5, when Jesus is teaching that lengthy Sermon on the Mount, he states that he has come not to abolish the law and the prophets, but rather to fulfill them. And by making that statement, he implied that until he arrived on the scene, the law and the prophets were indeed incomplete. They had yet to be fulfilled. No one had been able to complete and fulfill all that God had given in his word. Ancient Israel, whom God calls his son, certainly wasn't able to fulfill these things. Remember, God had chosen these people for himself. He had graciously given them his revealed word in the law. When they strayed, he would graciously and with long suffering call them back to himself through the mouths of the prophets. And yet over and again, they keep straying until finally they are led off into exile. They could not fulfill the law and the prophets. This is likely connected then to the appearance of Moses and Elijah. Right? Moses, the giver of the law, Elijah, the great prophet, the two men that basically stood for all of God's self-revelation to his chosen people, are now standing there with the incarnate fulfillment of all that they had proclaimed. Moses and Elijah and Jesus, who fulfills the word of them both. So that finally, in this God-man Jesus, this Son of God, God is well pleased. Finally, one has come who is able to do and to keep all that God commanded. But there on the Mount of Transfiguration, as glorious as he was, he hadn't done it yet. No, Christ would not fulfill Peter's desire that they all stay there on the mountain. God interrupts Peter from the cloud and he says, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And upon hearing that voice, all of the disciples fall on their faces. Par for the course in Scripture when human creatures encounter God's glory. But you see, this Jesus, this beloved Son, with whom God is well pleased and to whom they are to listen, he comes to these fearful disciples, and the first thing he says is, "Get up and have no fear." And when they lift up their eyes, Moses is gone, Elijah is gone. The Greek is emphatic here. They see no one but Jesus himself alone. And after that, they travel back down the mountain. So how does this text inform us today? Well, Wednesday marks the beginning of Lent, that 40-day journey of repentance, that journey where we consider more intentionally our sinful condition and our utter need for a Savior. And that journey, as you know, will lead us to Holy Week, right? We will hear the cries of Hosanna as King Jesus enters Jerusalem on that Sunday. By Thursday, we will hear of the gracious institution of his Holy Supper. We will hear of his betrayal and his arrest. And then it will come. On that Friday, we will be led to another mount, the place of the skull. And there we see Christ. The same Christ who this morning is radiating with brilliant light, but instead he'll be hanging on a cross, not clothed in white, but naked and dying. And even so, he is no less glorious. For everything that we hear about Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration is also true on the Mount of Golgotha. And therefore, what happens on Golgotha is your salvation. You see, he is God's son there on Golgotha. He doesn't cease to be fully God in his death on the cross. No, in a mind-blowing mystery, God is crucified for you. His death is unlike any other that was before him or any that would come after him. So unique is his death on planet Earth that when he breathes his last, behold, Matthew says, behold, the curtain of the temple. And the earth shook, and the rocks were split, and the centurion cries out, truly this man was the Son of God. And there on the cross, God is well pleased with this beloved Son, not in the sense that he's proud of him, but rather that finally in Christ, atonement and satisfaction for the world's sin is made. God now looks upon that perfect sacrifice of the Lamb, and God declares that in Christ's death alone, his wrath is satisfied for you. The God who would not be pleased with you because of your sin and your inability to keep his law, he is now pleased with you because payment for your sin has been made. Christ has restored God's smile upon you. And so, dear friends, you don't need to bear the burden of keeping God happy with you. No, you lift up your eyes and you see Jesus himself alone crucified for you, for in him God is well pleased. And this beloved Son of God is also the one that you hear. You listen to him and him alone. He comes to you in order to alleviate your fear, to remove your guilt. You hear him when he hangs on the cross and he declares that it is all finished. You hear him when he says, Father, forgive them. You hear him when he promises to that repentant criminal hanging next to him, today you will be with me in paradise. You hear him when he rises from the dead and he says, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You hear him today when he says, I forgive you all of your sin. Hear him when he says, I baptize you. You hear him when he says, take, eat, take, drink, my body and blood for the forgiveness of all of your sins. You hear him when he says, I am coming again to make all things. Dear friends, this is the comfort and the certainty that you have in Christ and him alone. So when you see his glory on the Mount of Transfiguration, don't stay there, for there is even greater glory to behold in his death and resurrection. For this same Jesus is the beloved Son of God, in whom God is well pleased for your sake. So listen to him. The word he speaks is forgiveness, and life, and salvation. In the name of the Father, and the Son,